Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, offering crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at www.sfarmmarketing.com.
This edition of Commodity Week was recorded on the third day of December. Corn finished the month lower for the first time since July, but it managed to rally 20 cents for the week. How should a farmer take this mixed signal from the marketplace? We'll try to find out today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists in studio today include Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services from Oakland, Illinois, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities from Newmarket, Indiana, Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson out of Champaign, Illinois, and Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group from Decatur, Illinois. Let's open with this question. I'm having a tough time resisting delivering corn at $5.65 cash and beans at $12.85 today, both Friday bids from the Andersons in Champaign. Will it be a good sale? Paul Cooley of ADM.
Well, I had a very long-time customer call me from Sullivan, Indiana, and he asked me, why are all the elevators full of grain in that particular area? And I said they're waiting for basis improvement. Being a student of the marketplace, a farmer should wait for basis levels to improve. Unfortunately, selling grain and buying it back on the board isn't exactly that process, but if he waited until Friday afternoon, he did pick up a lot of money this week holding both corn and soybeans.
Jackie Vakes?
I don't disagree with Paul. I do think that you really have to sit down and look at how much of the crop you have left. Whether you're willing to just hang on to this. When you look at basis on average across the U.S. on corn, we're looking at about the 36 to 40 under. You know, when you're talking about corn that's at 560, normally I would expect it to be probably 50 to 60 cents under. So this isn't necessarily a really bad basis. You're taking your chances. I had an experience this week where I figured out for a fella if he sold his whole crop, his return on investment over his cost was 139%, 39% return on every dollar.
Dan Zwicker of ADM.
Dan Zwicker? Farmers are flat price sellers, so they need to concentrate on the actual cash price they get when they deliver it to the grain. Now, if a farmer wants to be to try to capture the best basis levels possible in the marketplace, then he has to become a full-time hedger. And when you become a hedger in this type of environment, you're subject to all the price volatility like we've experienced this past week. And who knows? We don't know what we're going to wake up to the next morning, whether the market's going to be limit up or limit down. And I think it's best for the farmer, at least in this environment, to basically look at flat price. And I think those kind of bids that are being offered are always good sales. Now, that doesn't mean that prices can't go higher, but those are very attractive price levels compared to what we were looking at 6 months ago.
So that 565 at 8 under is all right?
I think so.
Wayne Nelson.
It's a very good price, Todd. Lots of money can be made there, a good turn on investment. And if you need to move a little corn for cash flow, pay fertilizer bills, seed prepayment, anything like that, those are not bad prices, or even just core a bin. I've been saying, as you well know, sit on your hands for right now. I think we're going to rally back towards $6. I've been telling my customers this last week, somewhere in the 580 to 585 bracket is a time to make a cash sale to core the bins here and make sure everything's okay, because we don't have to go through. At $6 is where we run into resistance the last time, where the buyers sort of pulled back in, and over 1320 is where they pulled back in on the beans. So I think they're okay, but I'm going to sit on my hands till at least Tuesday.
All right. I have to admit I called the Andersons just to check and see whether they had very much movement at 8 under for today. And the answer was, for corn and beans both, and the answer was overwhelmingly a no. The phones are not ringing at this point. Let's stay for a moment with the feed grains, but talk about wheat as it relates to them. There's been a constant barrage of news from around the globe where what would have been milling quality crop normally has been downgraded to feed quality. Canada, Australia come to mind. How do you fit those additional supplies into, say, the S&D tables for corn?
Well, that's going to be something for the market to sort through. There is no doubt about it that the wheat quality, milling quality is going down in bushels very quickly when you look at the weather patterns that's happened here around the world. So that is going to be something real interesting. But this is if there's something a little on the bearish side for possibly corn, this is the one that could maybe come back and hurt corn demand somewhat, because we're going to those feed wheat bushels are going to become competitors in the world market.
You're shaking your head in agreement?
Oh, definitely. I think that how quickly the trade grabs onto it is another question, you know, and whether or not people are willing to make the change, and where all the feed grade wheat is really available, I think is the number one question we have to ask ourselves. Is it readily available in areas where we are feeding a lot of animals or not? And so I anticipate that they will certainly take it to heart. And yet you looked at Paris wheat today, you know, and we put in a new contract high of $8.625.
Well, 7.5 million tons is the number that I'm being told about as far as Australia wheat's concerned. Mm-hmm. The bigger picture is we have major weather problems with no snow cover in Russia. We also have dry weather conditions in the western Kansas growing areas and Colorado. And, of course, we have major growing problems in Argentina. We do grow corn, soybeans, and wheat in those very productive areas of Argentina. My feeling is that it's a very small price predictor. If wheat goes up, corn's not going to be far behind.
Let's stay with wheat for just a moment. Old crop futures rallied sharply on the world fundamentals, as we know, for the week, up nearly 90 cents. But new crop managed just a 20.25 cent gain. What does that tell us about the 2011 crop?
There is a lot of wheat planted, Todd. The question is, what shape will it be in when it comes out of dormancy? We've got a lot of wheat possibly coming on the market, but we also may possibly have a lot of wheat that doesn't make it to market. And I think they're willing to sit back and wait a little while and see how the winter goes and see if we get some snow cover in Russia, and how some of this looks when it goes into dormancy when finally we get a snow cover here in the Midwest.
Wheat futures finished like this on the week. December contract had a high of $7.38, a low at $6.45. The settlement price there was 89 and three quarters higher at $7.38. That in the December contract, old crop. July at $5.84.5 for the new crop was up 20 and a quarter cents. December corn this week, a 5.59 and a quarter top, bottom at 28 and three quarters. Settlement price at $5.59. The change from Friday of last week, up 20 and three quarter cents. December of next year at 5.34.5, up 27.5 cents. Dan, the Argentine corn crop, while it's early in their season, is under stress from dry weather conditions. What do we know about the conditions on the ground there and the potential for that corn crop?
Well, both corn and soybeans are under the spotlight, and if weather patterns don't begin to shift here fairly soon to the more favorable side, both those commodities the prices are going to be reflected fairly quickly. I think we may have through the holidays here, and we take a good look of planting conditions. The soybean crop down there is being planted very slowly because of a lack of moisture, and if that would continue, you're going to start talking about much smaller crops coming out of Argentina, and that is going to be reflected in commodity prices after the first of the year.
back in the old days, they say a dry June is just what the corn crop needs, but we also know that that's the time frame when the ear size is determined. The big factor here is that this historic situation is indicating, and from past experience, the dry weather usually goes into the December and early January time frame. That's when the market's really going to be on the edge of its chair, waiting and watching the development of corn. The big factor here is that we do know that Brazil has sold a tremendous amount of volume of corn out of their country, as well as Argentina.
Paul, if you look out 3 months, what do you see in the marketplace?
Well, there's a lot of tossing and turning that's going to take place in the marketplace between now and then. But the big factor here that I think is extremely important is that at some point in time, we feel that China does have to come up and step up and buy a lot of corn, soybeans, and other commodities to just keep up. We think that the other major turn in the marketplace is the weather in Argentina, and the other big surprise that we're going to see is, of course, the final USDA production estimates. All these should equate to smaller carryovers in the big three, corn, wheat, and soybeans.
Speaking of USDA, Jackie, next week they have a crop production report. It's due out. Usually that one deals with oranges and cotton. And we don't bother with it very much. Anything on it that we ought to be watching?
Well, I think this year could be the exception. We've certainly seen enough surprises that have come up in the past three, four, and five reports. It wouldn't surprise me at all to see them make some adjustments on the December report. In most years, it's unlikely for them to do that. This year, considering that they still have crop that they haven't been able to account for from that September report, I wouldn't be surprised at all to see some changes made in the perhaps feed usage and actually have another drop in carryover.
Dan, what are you looking at?
Well, there could be some minor supply-demand revisions. I don't necessarily look for much because I think as a rule, before USDA makes any major changes, is they want to see what the actual supply is. And this week or earlier in this week, they did the survey work on all stocks and grain and positions, and they'll look at those numbers, and then they'll try to back out of it and come up with a final production number. So most of the nail biting is going to be going into that January report rather than this report coming up here in December.
Soybean numbers for the week. The January contract had a high of $13 a penny and a half, a low at $12.26 and a half. Settlement price at $13.25, up 61 3/4 in the Jans. The November at $12.08 and a quarter, up 49 3/4 cents. What do you see in the export market? The numbers were fairly good for the week.
Todd, we've continued to see very, very strong exports every week on beans. We look down, we don't see carry in the bean market, which tells us it is a bull market out there. It is a demand-driven market, not the supply-driven like we have in the corn, which does still have carry. So, you know, we continue to see China, their crush margin staying well. We've heard all sorts of little threats about doing this or doing that. We have seen them come in and talk about regulations on oil for end users on selling prices like that. But we seem to feel that they're going to stay very aggressive to keep their people happy. They're wanting to spend a lot more money on food. And as we look down, South America still has that. It's not serious yet. But it's something that everybody has talked about here on the panel today and everybody's keeping their eye on is what's the weather going to be over the next few months, because last month, 50% of the average rainfall in Argentina. So a lot to look at there. I think wheat is the strongest commodity out there now, beans second, and corn right now, because it's more of a supply idea rather than demand, is our third one in line.
Anybody disagree with that in the order of which crops are leading, wheat, soybean, corn? Everybody's...
I wouldn't necessarily put soybeans is very, very strong. And you look at the balance sheets, even this current balance sheet, unless USDA comes up with a larger supply in the January report, that 185 million carryout that USDA is using is way high. At the current rate of disappearance, you could probably be talking some easily down in the 160 or less. And then when you take into account the dry weather that's going on in Argentina, which is typical La Nina weather pattern, that dryness has a tendency to move northward as you go through the winter into Brazil. And if Argentina, Brazil, if we start talking about a 6 to 10 million ton drop in soybean production out of South America, I think soybeans will leave wheat in the dust. Just look at our balance. What are we selling each week? And it's soybeans. And I think it's very tense for the next 60 days in weather in South America.
Yes. You're listening to Commodity Week. This is the December 3rd edition of our program. You can always hear it again if you'd like on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. Our panelists in studio today include Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana, Jackie Vakes of Stewart Peterson from Champaign, and Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. We'll be back in just 2 minutes.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. It's hard to believe that 3 weeks ago we were enjoying unseasonably warm weather here in Illinois. The weather for the last week has been decidedly winter-like, rather appropriate for the start of meteorological winter on the 1st of December. Temperatures were well below normal this week as a steady flow of cold air followed a strong cold front early in the week. On Tuesday, highs were mostly in the 30s across Illinois, and highs were mostly in the 20s on Wednesday, especially across the northern half of the state as clouds kept the sun from warming things up. Another half inch of rain fell across the southeastern half of the state with the cold front early in the week, and some locations received over an inch and a half of rain. Once the cold air settled in over Illinois, a series of weak upper-level disturbances produced a few snow flurries and snow showers in many areas, with some accumulations of a couple tenths of an inch. After the quick-moving clipper system moves through Illinois this weekend with some snow, cold air will remain entrenched for much of next week, with temperatures running below normal. There should be a small warm-up by the end of the week as the next weather system approaches. After this weekend, precipitation next week will probably be limited to lake-effect snow showers or flurries the first half of the week. For the Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
This is the December 3rd edition of Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Our panelists in studio today include Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities from Newmarket, Indiana, Jackie Vakes of Stewart Peterson from Champaign, Illinois, and Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois. So let's talk about what farmers might be wanting to do with both old and new crop corn and soybeans. Let's start with new crop just for fun. At this point, what should producers be thinking about at this time of year? And we'll go across the board with everybody, starting with you, Paul Cooley.
Well, believe it or not, there's a group out there that have sold too much already. And we are getting that question. As far as people doing anything on the new crop corn and soybeans, I would wait and be a patient waiter at this time. I think that there's just too many things that need to unfold here. And I think the biggest surprise is that, how strong this market can be as it unfolds into the February-March timeframe.
New crop, Jackie?
Well, I don't disagree with Paul. I think that that waiting's not the worst. And we've also got this, a lot of the same question. We've sold way too much, way too early. And so I do think that if you have inputs locked in, there's nothing wrong with having something sold. And if you want some reownership, pick it up. I also think that, you know, if you're nervous about it, get a put in place. I wouldn't sell the futures at this point in time necessarily or be very aggressive in cash.
Dan?
The marketing game has changed dramatically here over the past 2 to 3 years. And I think farmers need to be very careful who they listen to and why they're listening to that individual person. Because if you take a look at the track records of these farmer market advisory services this past year, this is 2 years, over the past 3 years here now, they've got trapped selling the bottom third of the market. I mean, you look at corn futures, the range in corn futures, December corn futures was between 343 on the low side, and the high here in November has been 605. That's a 262 range. You take the bottom third of that range is between 343 to 430. The middle third is 430 to 517. And the upper third here is 517 to 605. Now, market advisory services and farmer sales are all in that bottom third. The middle third here was pretty much a deer in the headlight move. Everybody, what's going on? Now, this upper third now the whole country now has turned bullish again. So what I think rather than listening to people that are looking at the old way of doing things and have not modernized and starting to take a look at the global picture, the technical side of the market, how money flow works, are going to get left in the dust. So I think the advisory business is changing. It hasn't did the complete transition yet, but we're going to see some big changes in how risk management is done at the farm level. Your big international grain companies and processing companies, it has also been a struggle for them to manage risk. And risk management is definitely changing in here and how one handles that.
I'll come back to you on the big companies and how they're changing their risk management in a moment. But, Wayne, I need you to answer, too.
I'd like to reiterate what Jackie said. Number one, if you don't have fertilizer, chemicals, and seed priced in or locked in, do not be selling this crop, because we saw a tremendous change in fertilizer prices a year or two ago that really hammered guys when it came time to. Along the way, there's percentages. I don't think there's anything wrong with having 20% sold at over $5 cash to come out here. Past that, I think I've used the word sitting on my hands an awful lot the last couple weeks. I'm continuing to do that because of everything we've talked about here. The possibility of the weather, the possibility of South America, the possibility of China, the possibility of our government to say something intelligent. You know, any and all of those things. And that was going to be, you know, just I think that if they realize that these carryouts are going to be lower and we see some of those numbers, that we can see some very big prices down the road.
Dan, come back and follow up on that last little tidbit from you about risk management and large grain companies. Roughly speaking, how have they had to change the way they look at the marketplace in the past 4 years?
Well, it's all about market intelligence. And unless you have the right sources and you're gathering information, you're going to be behind the eight ball, because as you wait around for USDA to tell you the size of the crop or how many acres are being planted, you're going to miss it. I mean, market intelligence was so important this year to be on the right side of the equation. I mean, it's just about the acreage deal back in May, June. There was a group out there that just felt we were going to plant 90, 91 million acres of corn, and they were throwing the curveball in late June. And how long did it take USDA to figure out that these yields weren't here? So it's all about market intelligence, and if farmers need to be aligned with people that have market intelligence, and then you have to be able to it is a fundamental market, but with today's huge amount of money that comes into this market, you just get out of the way when the index funds want to come in here and be buyers. So you do have to have different technical systems to keep you from going on the short side or the wrong side of the market very quickly.
Paul, how have you adjusted just your day-to-day sort of trade? How do you get out of the way of a fundamental – or of the funds, not the fundamentals, but how do you manage to get out of the way of these guys when they make that – when they make that big sale for liquidation, or they come in and they buy an enormous number?
How does Paul Cooley do it? Well, that's one reason I get up at 4:45 in the morning and show up at work at 6 o'clock and at least get the coffee going. I think the big thing is that we do it by having private weather forecasters we talk to. We watch the trend systems going, and we also watch the fundamentals very close. But the big factor here is that we do trade smaller positions than we ever have in the past.
So on market intelligence, I have to throw this in. On August the 1st, the University of Illinois Farm Doc team said 158.1. And they were closer than anybody. I think everybody thought that was just rock solid wrong.
Tip of the hat to
the Ag Econ department here. Because they were as close as anybody at that point on the corn crop. That was on August the 1st, and USDA was way above that at that point.
Yep.
Okay, we have just 2-3 minutes left here, 2 minutes left. So final set of advice for a producer, old and new crop, corn, soybean, wheat, whichever you want to talk about, what's the most important thing for them to know at this time? Paul, we'll start with you.
Well, I don't disagree with Dan on watching the beans, because I think that's the interesting field to go. And I would we do have many contracts, and those are also fun to play.
Jackie?
Well, I'll tell you, I think all three of them are important. But at the same time, I think what's most important is that a farmer is protecting himself and paying attention to what's going on. I think that a lot of us set goals, we reach the goal, we don't do anything. And I think I still live by the adage that, you know, if a hedger doesn't hedge opportunity, he's a speculator. And so we have to be really careful about that. On new crop, I think right now we just sit by and watch.
Dan?
I guess I'm going to, it's easy to say purchase puts because that protects the downside and that gives you upside potential. But if you've looked at the cost of options at this point in time, the volatility in this marketplace makes those very, very expensive and hard to work with and to finance. I think when you look at long-term food demand, you look at what today's balance sheet is, you look at the charts, and the trend is your friend. And I think there's going to be some roller coasters in here, but until the grain trade, world grain trade, becomes comfortable with supply, it's going to be very difficult for this market to crash and burn. Unless there's just a real surprising outside influence. So I think the market is geared up to be more seasonal in nature as we go forward.
Owen Taylor, in a seminar this week, the weather forecaster from Iowa State, said it's been 23 years since we've had a major drought. The major droughts start in the Carolinas, and it's dry in the Carolinas, and this is the 23rd year since we've had a drought.
And that wraps up this week's edition of Commodity Week. Thank you to our panelists in studio, including Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson out of Champaign, Illinois, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities from New Market, Indiana, Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois, and Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services from Oakland, Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great week.